Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Punk Till I Die podcast, episode number 226. I'm Tom, and somewhere is Neil. How you doing, Neil?
I'm doing fine, Tom. I'm happy to meet you. It seems like it's been a while.
We've been struggling to get in a good groove here lately, and I'm sure we will at some point. But we just had a lot of – I specifically have had a lot of stuff going on. Not that you haven't either, but
Well, compared to you, I haven't. I mean, first thing we'll say, congratulations. You're a grandfather.
Man.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty. I got to tell you, man, I grabbed that little girl. It's a little girl, and I'm not going to give her full name because you guys are a bunch of freaking weirdos. No, I'm just kidding. But I grab her, and it really does make me happy. You know what I mean? It's really cool. My wife has seen her, I think, every day except for one since she's been born.
Yeah, Cheryl seemed very, very excited about the whole thing.
So, no, it's really cool, and they're doing real well, mom, baby, and give. And my son Gibson, they're all doing real well. So no, it's real cool, man.
She went past her due date, right?
The baby wasn't very big. It was only 6 pounds 12.
Huh. Okay.
My kids were huge, dude. My oldest son was almost 10 pounds when he was born. He was like if they would have had a battle royale at the hospital, my son would have easily won. He wouldn't have got confused with the other babies because he was twice her size.
Wow, Lydia was a preemie. She was like eight weeks early.
Oh wow, yeah. So she's like 3 pounds or something.
It's 4 pounds 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she was just very small. She was just petite, but yeah.
But yeah, no, it is a real, real interesting. Yeah, we just we've had so much. It's such a weird thing to be sandwiched in our generation, you know, because and I know you don't have your folks anymore, but we're dealing with. Parents getting old and falling apart, and then adult kids and becoming grandparents. Like, man, this, and I'm of course turning 50 here in about a month. I mean, this is going to be a year with a lot of stuff happens. We gained one, and we're probably going to lose a couple.
Yeah, I was going to say you're seeing both ends of the human spectrum coming up.
Both ends, but they both smell bad. it's definitely been challenging, and we've had some. Pretty good guests presented to us, and we just had to get them together. But I've just been, like I said, struggling time wise. So if you get the impression that we're fading, we're not fading. We're just resetting here. We're just kind of like
life's getting in the way a little bit.
Getting our footing back. But it's not for lack of passion to still do this stupid thing where we talk to each other.
Well, I have a feeling it's going to be one of those things where we haven't really recorded for a week, but then I have a feeling in the next week we might do like 3 in a week.
That's true. That's true. And like I said, we have some good. Potential guests that just need to be slotted in, and of course nobody lives like in the East Coast or in the Central Time Zone or something, so they're all like in Europe, or I mean the one guy, literally I'm talking to a guy and he's like, well, I'm gonna be traveling in Africa for the next 2 weeks. I'm like, that could be tricky. I don't know how the internet is there.
Yeah. And then we've got one in England. We've got a couple in England, actually. We're trying to line up. And then everyone else is on the West Coast. So it's always a matter of, it's when it's 6 o'clock for them, it's 9 o'clock and almost going to bedtime for Tom by the time we're finished.
Either that or they want to do it at night and we're not even out of work yet. And it's if they're in Europe. So
It's made the. But anyway, in fact, we should have done one last week, but he canceled at the last minute. So I think we'll be getting him on this week, I think. Maybe.
That's cool.
Yeah, maybe with an English guy, but he lives in California. So
nice.
We shall see.
So it's funny. I got a real quick, funny, kind of funny story. The last episode we recorded, I think it was 2 episodes ago. I think it was 224 when we were talking about you coming to visit. Is it 224 or 225? I can't remember.
224 was when I was in your kitchen. 225 was the one we did about the next day.
Well, because at some point we were kind of talking before we started, and when we were laughing kind of mid conversation, and the intro was, hey, welcome to the Punk Till I Die podcast with Tough Guy Tom and something Neil. I couldn't think of it. Should have been Lily Liver Neil or something. I don't know. But we were talking about how I wanted to get a fight in the parking lot or what.
It was last episode.
I'm sitting around at work, and there's just a few of us sitting around, maybe 5 of us or whatever, and this guy's trying to bust my ball, so he pulls the podcast up on his phone, and it was that episode where I come on and say, hey, this is Tough Guy Tom or whatever, and then the guys would call me Tough Guy Tom.
so you got a new thing at work.
Unfortunately, I had to physically beat every one of them into a pulp, so it worked out okay.
Well, at least hopefully he downloaded the episode, so we get an extra download on our account.
He's probably not. He's probably just streaming on Spotify.
Son of a bitch. Yeah.
So anyway, Tender Tom is dead. Long live Tough Guy Tom.
Tough Guy Tom.
I get a little winded, but if I get you in the first 30 seconds, you're in big trouble.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, Tough Guy Tom, we got, I think we're going to have some new merch coming up. I think we've decided on what we're going to do.
The official Tough Guy Tom Suicidal Tendencies merch collection.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. Like a bandana.
Yes. And some knuckle dusters.
Yes. Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, when we're in Logansport, I'm going to have a little something too. So we'll have some stuff.
Actually, I think you should be Tire Iron Tom. Maybe that should be your fucking
nickname. That was the one that Richard suggested.
Yeah, I think that's good.
But you guys spell tire funny in England, right? T-Y-R-E.
Yeah, we call it with a Y. Yes, indeed.
See, just that deserves a beating.
Hey, we invented the language. It's you guys who made it dumb.
Whatever.
Dumped it down, aluminum. I guess aluminum makes more sense than aluminium, though. That's kind of...
Yeah, I mean, you're adding syllables for no reason.
Yeah, adding it for no reason.
I mean, we say... or what's the Z, and you say Z?
Z, yes, yes. And we say... And instead of zero, we say naught, which is always weird.
Isn't that the guy from Pulp Fiction with the chopper, the rapist?
It's been a long time since I saw Pulp Fiction, my friend.
It's so good. You should watch it again.
Yeah. But talking of Richard, we should say congratulations, because he's actually in London today for the wedding of his was it his oldest son or second oldest son or something? I don't know.
I'm not sure. Between he and his wife, they have six kids. I'm not really sure
what it's like the fucking Brady Bunch.
Yes, it's like the Brady Bunch except without the hilarity.
Yeah, with tattoos.
And then like mom yelling at Richard for
buying too many records. Yes, and Richard going out every night.
Well, it's funny because I'm kind of in the same situation. I've been kind of trying not to spend too much money, and then like this month just a bunch of stuff. I mean, I'm just back to getting a box, you know, box a day for a week. But I'm kind of made this vow to myself, like nothing more till record store day, because I want to get that.
Which is next Saturday.
Next Saturday, yeah. Saturday. By the time you hear this, I'll probably already be out shopping for my record. I'll tell you what, Neil. In honor of Tough Guy Tom, I'm going to play a song right off the bat.
All right. Is it somewhere very angry and violent?
It is. It is. Oh, all right. So I'm talked about how I've kind of been struggling to get into much new music this year, but I can see it starting to turn now. I'm starting to. Started to find some stuff. It's not that there wasn't some decent stuff. It just wasn't anything that really... I always like it at the beginning of the year when there's something that I think is really, really good. Because then it's like, okay, this like sets the bar for the year. And then everything else. Like, if you want to be the best record of the year, you have to be better than this. And the band I'm going to play later, actually, I think should have the best record of the year. But
wow.
Circumstances.
Holy shit.
So far, at least. So far. 3 months into the year, 3.5 months of the year. But anyway, I'm going to play this song. When we had Mark from TKO on, he played this band, and then he sent us the record, and I love it. So heavy, so angry. Band's called Tyrant. They're from Copenhagen, Denmark, which is, you know, like mostly like fairy tales and things, right?
Hold on 1 second. Do you have like a grasshopper or something jumping about in your living
room? Yeah, I think
it's
a tree frog. They make me insane, man.
Holy shit.
Dude, sometimes they're so loud at night, I just lay in my bed.
Tom doesn't live in the country.
Dude, I have a third of an acre, covered with a pool and chickens.
It's like
I can hear it now. Yeah, you're right. It's pretty loud. Isn't it?
It's like when Buddy, you know, how Buddy Holly's band was named the Crickets. It's because it was a cricket in the wall of the recording studio.
Is that right?
Yeah, indeed it is.
Did not know that.
But anyway, sorry, getting back to the band.
Anyway, yeah, Tyrant, Copenhagen.
What's the name of the song?
This is from their Release the Animal, which is like this LP of their first two EPs. Anyway, it's real good stuff. If you like hard, you know, not particularly metallic, but if you like real hard-edged, punch-in-the-face hardcore, man, I can't recommend this album enough. Anyway, this is the last song. It's kind of like the sort of pseudo-title track from that record, and it's called Yes, Sir.
Yeah.
As the tree frog tells us, that was Tyrant with Yes Sir. And that's,
dude, you can't find those things and kill them. I mean, I would if I could. I mean, I don't have anything against tree frogs, but they do make me insane. Like, it keeps me from being able to sleep with my window open.
Dude, it's so weird because of all the 220 odd podcasts we've done, I've never heard that before. When you're recording, so that's
they're probably like an endangered species or something. If I go out there and kill one, I'll have to go to prison.
Yeah, maybe set the fucking chickens on them, because chickens are brutal, aren't they? They
make like a joke rip about, things like, apart. Make a joke about killing the president, get zero pushback. Make a joke about killing an endangered tree frog, get arrested.
Yes. Now Richard White's gonna have a whole new thing. But first it was the rabbits, now it's chickens and tree frogs. Tyrant.
My chickens live like kings, man. My wife takes such good care of those chickens. They're like I don't know. You wish you had as good a lifestyle as those chickens.
How were the eggs?
I just had them for breakfast. It was fine.
Well,
I mean, they're probably healthier, I imagine, than.
Well, the thing I've noticed, if you go to the grocery store and you look for like organic grass fed, I don't know, eggs from Happy Chickens or whatever, from
free range chickens, dozen.
But you really can't tell the difference because the eggs are like almost orange. I mean, the yolks are like orange, right? Is that how yours are?
Yeah. They are a little darker, yeah.
Yeah, and they taste better. So.
Well, like I said, I'm sure they have less, garbage. I mean, we don't feed our chickens any garbage.
What do you feed your chickens?
I don't know. I'm not chicken whisperer. The best stuff.
I thought you might have to buy something. You'd be all angry about it.
No. And I'm sure at the end of the day, I'm not really convinced of the economic advantage of this.
Note to self, tough guy Tom does not take care of the chickens.
No, I don't. Well, that was the deal. I mean, a year ago or whatever, I don't know when it was, when I was telling the story about the chicken showing up and you were just laughing hysterically because I told my wife absolutely not and she just totally ignored me and got the chickens. So one of the consequences of that is I don't take care of the chickens.
There you go.
Even though I do help with like the
picking up the eggs,
architectural like area of where they're kept.
So I find this fascinating, actually. So doesn't Sheena, the doggy, doesn't she want to try and kill the chickens?
She couldn't care less about anything.
Okay.
She's always been real friendly to other animals. No, yeah. She's definitely not a chicken. We do have a beagle next door that I've seen like pounce on a cardinal and like devour it.
Wow.
So I do want to make sure that beagle next door doesn't get it under the fence or whatever.
Now how about, okay, so I always make jokes that you live in a country. I don't know, it's not real country, but do you have raccoons and shit that you have to worry about?
Not really, because it's so sort of compact and fenced in where we're at. I mean, I see them dead on the road and stuff, but I never see a raccoon in my yard. Squirrels.
See, that's interesting, because when I used to live in
but
Chicago.
But they're big, fat things, man. They don't want to go around through the fences, you know?
When I used to live in Chicago, we had raccoons in the house. And this is in Chicago. And,
ooh, that's horrifying.
In Rogers Park, we had them up in the fucking eaves of the house, yeah.
Oh, dude, they're the worst.
Oh, they're super cute, but yeah, they're...
Are you kidding me?
Oh, come on.
Vile disease-carrying...
I got pictures of them, man. They were super cute. They was carrying that because the babies were up there, and they're just looking
super
at us from the roof.
They gave me an infection. I had to go and spend 2 days in the hospital.
This is a whole tangent. This is certainly isn't something we plan to talk about, but you know how we got rid of them? Because, you know, the woman I was living with at the time, she was very, like, animal-friendly and stuff. So we actually hired this company that came out, and because they were living somewhere in the eaves of the house. So, you know, if you were mean, you would just have covered up the hole and they'd have starved in there or something. So she
Dude,
didn't.
just like put a hose in there from your exhaust.
She didn't want. She didn't. Well, again, they're up on the roof. I mean, it's a two-story house, but she didn't want to do that. So.
There's creative ways to kill everything.
So what they did, well, we didn't want to kill them. They just wanted to get rid of them. So what they did, they put it like, I think she got some company in that went up on the roof and put up lights and some kind of like tape player and a motion detector. So whenever they came around, the lights would come on and the fucking tape player would start playing or the music would start playing or whatever, which would drive them away. So that's how we, so we had like a, we call it the raccoon disco up on the roof,
Fun fact, the
which would
band they
get rid of them.
played, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes,
The raccoons hate them.
that's guaranteed to get rid of any wildlife anywhere. The fucking Red Hot
Well,
Chili
see, that's
Peppers.
the difference between you city slickers and us country folks. I mean, we're and I'm not, like I said, I'm not even a country folk, but I'm sorry. I'm either going to kill or run off the raccoons. I'm not going to gently wisp them down on clouds of pleasure. They're disease carrying varmints. I mean, they are not. They're not good. They're not pets. They'll eat your children's faces.
Yeah, so are human beings, disease-carrying varmints.
I mean, yes, but you know, we're bipedal.
Anyway, yeah, so we had those, and what else did we have? We had all kinds of stuff. Obviously, skunks and a possum. Possums are weird looking too, right?
Yeah,
Jesus.
they're big too, though.
Yeah, but they're
Dude,
fucking weird as fuck looking.
my old house is like from the 40s. My house I'm in now is in the 70s, but that was in the 40s, and I would get like once in a while I'd get a bat.
Ooh.
And my wife walked into the bedroom and said, "Oh, the bat." She's semi freaked out. Bats are like, you know, tiny mice with wings, you
Yeah,
know.
they are. That's exactly what they're
So
like,
I
yeah.
get my tennis racket, and this bat flies right at me, and I was like Boris Becker. I just plucked this thing out of the air. I must have snapped its little back neck in one stroke.
Oh, see, that's so, again, so
It was
weird.
my greatest
Tennis
tennis.
shot ever.
Just like this dead bat on my bed. I'm like, oh no.
Wow,
Yes.
Tom will kill any wildlife with anything close at hand. Baseball bat, tennis racket, fucking tire iron.
Yeah, because well, like, yeah, if you're in the city, like, you can't even really use a pellet gun or anything.
We had a. What are you talking about? Go and get a fucking AK-47.
Yes.
Just drive this
Blasted you
outside.
real bad.
Yeah, AR-15. No, when we had a bat in the house, we threw a blanket over it and took it outside very gently. Sent it on its
Made
way.
it a made it a cup of tea.
Basically.
Gave it a massage.
Yeah, made sure it was okay before we got rid of it. Yeah.
Oh, bought it a condo in Boca. All right. Neil, why don't you play a song? Maybe we could talk about some punk rock stuff or
All
not.
right. Yeah, nothing more punk rock than this, right? It's
Yes.
funny. Okay, you talking about, you don't think there's been a lot of great stuff so far this year. I'm actually the opposite. I'm actually very excited about how this year is shaped up so
It's
far.
funny because usually we're the opposite like that. Usually I have lots of good stuff and you're like, eh.
Yeah.
So I guess it's maybe it's time. Anyway, so tell me about it, man. What am I
Okay,
missing?
so I think what I'm going to talk about now is going to, it's my favorite album of the year so far, and it's going to take a lot of beating. I don't know what's going on in Australia at the moment, but there's tons of great bands coming out of Australia. And this is the band Private Function.
Okay, heard of them.
And I believe, and their album a couple years ago was really good too. I think it was during COVID. But this one is even better. This one is really, really good. And it's done, the name of the album is actually, I think it's called Hello Assholes, but it's done in like upside down letters and numbers and shit like that. It's like one of the worst album covers I've ever seen in my life. So that's the only thing that's holding it back. In fact, it's supposed to look like a scratch off card, I believe. So, and in fact, some of the early versions of the album actually did have scratch off panels on them. And if you scratched them off and got like three whatevers, you would get a bundle of t-shirts and whatever, right? The band will come to
Like
your house and bang you, I don't know.
a giant jar of Vegemite,
There you go.
can of Foster's.
But anyway, it's a really, really good punk rock album. And this song I am gonna play is called I'm This Far Away from Being the Worst Person You've Ever Met. So check it out.
We'll be right back.
All right, that was Private Function with I'm This Far Away from Being the Worst Person You've Ever Met. And every song on the album is great, and they're all slightly different, too. So it's not like it's like basically the same song for a fucking half hour. It's just a really, really good album. I like it a lot. Even though they look like shit and their album cover looks like shit, it's still
mullets?
Good. The boys do, and I think it's every band in Australia has to have a girl playing the bass. Tattooed girl playing the bass, so they fall into that.
Who doesn't like a tattooed girl plucking at four strings, Neil?
There's something dirty about that, but I'm not quite sure what it is.
It's just a little wordplay, Neil.
Okay. Private Function, the Drown, not the Drowns, Clowns, I mean. Clowns is who I meant. That's another great one, right, from Ozzy?
Dude, that Civic record.
Civic, yep.
Seriously, might be, as of right now, if I had to do a top five, that Civic record would definitely be in the top five.
Yeah, I got two Ozzy bands in my top five of the year, for sure. And but later,
I know, your whole list will change before the end of the year. See, that's kind of, like, you know, we've talked about this before. My thing is, if I get one that, like, I haven't got that one album yet that I think is so good that it's going to be hard to beat, but it's always like, you know, take on all contenders. Like, once I get that album, I think it's the best one, then the next album has to be better than that. Yeah. I think you tend to, I don't know, you just, you usually end of year heavy.
I keep an open mind, my friend.
Well, I don't know if it's that. I just think you forget about stuff from early in the year.
Close-minded Tom.
Well, like I said, I look at like the Highlander, only one. There can only be one. So like, you know, it has to be better than the one.
Well, a couple of,
But I haven't set that bar this year. Last year, I set the bar with, I don't remember what it was. I can't, but it's pretty bad.
It was so good, you can't remember what it was.
But yeah, it was really good early, real early in the year, and you know.
I mean, we had Ravages last year.
Ravages, that's what it was. Yeah. That set the bar. I think that came out in March.
Yeah, and then a couple of years ago, we had the Drowns album.
Yep,
and
the Drowns.
That came out early, and we both still had that as our number one album.
Yeah, I think that was like January.
Well, see, that's an interesting thing actually, because I guess you have the advantage of putting it out early in the year in that you listen to it more. But you also have the disadvantage that you might have forgotten about it by the time the end of the year rolls around. Right?
Not being fresh in your mind.
Yeah, so it has to be really good. But this Private Function album is really, really good. And I'm actually going to be playing another really good 2023 album from an English band a little bit later on. So,
Well, you know, it's funny because the chairman of the board of Spotify, or the president or whatever he is of Spotify, the guy runs Spotify, a year or two ago said, bands need to not think in terms of the old music industry. And the thing is, to get listeners and to get those numbers up and to make money, you just have to constantly be putting out small amounts of stuff. Do you remember that or not really?
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that. That's interesting, though. That's a really interesting
view. Because you know, if you want to get people's attention, you have to be, you can't wait 5 years and then put out 12 new songs. You have to constantly be feeding the machine. And with Spotify or the algorithm or whatever, the more releases you have, the better, you know, the better off you are. So I wonder. So the band that I just absolutely love this year, and I played them before, and I'm playing them again today. They're that Bay Area supergroup, Hunting Lions.
Mm-hmm.
So their debut album was 10 songs, but they split it up into two 12 inches. Like one-sided 12 inches with etched B-sides. They're beautiful records. Don't get me wrong. But they're both so good. But I'm like, if you put these 10 songs together, this would be my bar setter for the year. I can't stop. I just got the white one. There's a black one and a white one. The white one's newer. It just came out, I think, this Friday officially. I can't stop listening to it.
Well, is it the same thing? You just got one in black and one in white? Or are they
No, it's one's called Dark, one's called Light.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
They're five different songs. And the first one is kind of like typical like punk rock theme songs. And the second one actually has a couple of more nuanced sort of, like, this is a really powerful song about date rape.
Hmm.
And it sounds like fun, right? And it's just really good. And I think if you put this together, but I mean, is Album of the Year even matter anymore? Or are they trying to beat the algorithms of Spotify? I don't know, dude.
See, that's
I assume they know what they're doing. They have marketing people, right? Like, what do I know about anything?
That's super interesting, actually. Because Pirates Press does do stuff like that.
A lot of 12-inch EPs, right?
Yeah, I was talking to Carl, actually. So, yeah, let's segue on that one a second. So,
okay.
Earlier in the week...
Musical expert Carl from Seattle.
One of our longest-term listeners and
longest suffering. It prefers the term longest suffering.
And you know, frequent poster in the Facebook group are Carl. Yep. Horny Carl, we'll call him, from Seattle.
Carl Arm.
He emailed me earlier in the week and said he's going to be visiting Chicago with his family because he's got some family in the area. So we wanted to see if we could hang out and get together. So I said, yeah, of course. So Was it Thursday? Thursday, thank you.
We were going to podcast on Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, we actually hung out. At first, he wasn't quite sure where his family was, but then when we found out, they were not south, but they weren't as far north as he thought they were. He first said Highland Park, so I was going to meet him by work, but they're actually in Mount Prospect, which is...
Hey, is that where Screeching Weasel's from?
Maybe. They're just west. It's just west of Evanston anyway. And so I was like, well, I tell you what, I'll meet you at my local in Evanston. So that's what he did. We met after work on Thursday and hung out for 2 or 3 hours and drank a bunch of Guinness, and it was fun. He was he's a great guy, fitted in. It's so funny. Never met before, but you know, it felt like I've known him forever. So it was very cool. But anyway, the reason
that's funny, because we made the joke that if something happened to you, like Carl would be, you have to be your replacement because he's the only one jerky enough. But maybe you're looking for an American replacement. Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, see, yeah,
of course, we haven't heard from Carl since you saw him, so he may be dead.
Yeah. Well, he got to enjoy the – he was staying in the city, so he got to enjoy the lovely driving in Chicago when he drove up to Evanston. So I'm sure he was very angry by the time he got here.
The lovely watch out for the feces on the sidewalk when you're walking around.
Exactly. And, and some of the weird one-way streets in Evanston.
Beautiful city. Beautiful city.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, he did some anyway. You know, he put pictures up. He was in the Duke of Perth, so he did the full Punk Till I Die Chicago.
Well, that's what I said. If we do like a Heritage Trail, the Punk Till I Die Heritage Trail.
Yeah,
he hit a couple of very important stops.
Yeah, he was just missing D-Man, basically, right?
That's what I said. Well, he said he wanted to go to Bucket of Blood. I said I don't know how far. He didn't know how far it was, but I don't. Did he do any record shopping while he was in town?
He didn't say he did. No, I think he did more drinking than he did record shopping.
Yeah, nothing. It's the man after my own heart.
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, the reason I even brought that up in the first place was because we were talking about Pirates Press and the way they do things in unusual fashion these days. Like with the Susie Moon stuff, they put out, it was 3 songs on an EP, on a 12-inch EP,
16 songs over 3 12-inches.
Yeah. And it's just weird. And there was... Remind me, on those first EPs, was it the same 3 songs on both sides?
Yes.
Or was the second side empty?
An edge? Nope, the same 3 songs on both sides. Okay. And I think all 3 of those songs might have fit on one side of a 7-inch.
That's what's interesting about it.
They certainly would have fit on a 7-inch, right?
Decided not to do that or throw something different on the B-side. So Pirates Press is certainly doing it different than labels used to do it.
I think in the case of the, because Pirates hardly, of course they're doing that Teenage Bottle Rocket 7-inch, I think just came out, might have been yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. I haven't heard it. But
I think they just, you know, I haven't. But the problem is, you know, the 7-inch is going for 10, 12 bucks now. I don't know. I don't know there's much advantage to doing a 7-inch over a 12-inch.
Well,
but I do find it kind of a bummer when I write a 12-inch only got 8 minutes of song on it, you know.
Yeah, and I actually prefer a 7-inch, I have to say.
Yeah, I like 7-inches. I got a lot of them, but I complained to you already since I've started using your old turntable that's not automatic. It doesn't just pick up the needle when it's done and reset it, so you can't just put it on and walk away. Or you'll come home to a...
Right, yeah. It's worn a hole through the vinyl, yeah.
Yeah, it's the label's all scratched up.
But Pirates Press must be doing that for a reason. So maybe at some point we'll have Skipper on again.
Yeah, and see if he wants to come back on. Yeah. I'm curious because I think that is a label decision. But like I said, maybe they're ahead of the curve as far as trying to adapt to the new, you know, sort of the new market. I don't think the kids buy 7-inches. I think the 7-inch is largely a generational thing.
Or they only buy them at gigs, maybe, because, you know, $10 is a good price, and then you can just give that. You have that. You don't need change and stuff. It's a good thing to buy at a gig.
True.
But,
true.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, okay, so this Hunting Lions thing that you're talking up, I guess we should play that because you want to play it, right? But because you've talked it up.
Yeah.
But, so putting out the 2 EPs rather than 1 album, that is an interesting choice. And the whole having one side that's just embossed or whatever, it's got a picture on it. Who cares, right? But
well, they're like I said, they're beautiful records. They're almost like pieces of art. But I but here's the thing though, I think they only did like 250 pieces of both halves. So I wonder if maybe the master plan is to combine them on a a 12-inch later on or something.
Oh, at some point, yeah, do like,
because that's just so few,
just like that Tyrant thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This thing is really good, and I just can't imagine why. I mean, selling like less copies than like a local band.
So tell me about Hunting Lions again. Is it like a super group? I forget.
Yeah, it's the singer, I think, is from Roadside Bombs, and I think Roadside Bombs, forgive me if I'm wrong, but there's people from the Belltones, Swingin' Utters, maybe a Tiger Army guy. There's a bunch of, it's just a bunch of guys in the Bay Area.
Okay.
And you know, it's one of those things. It's not like strikingly original. It's not like they're trying to do something that's never been done before. They're just doing something. They're doing something really well, you know, like old guys tend to do. It's just good. So it's got a certain level of familiarity, and but it's just really well done. So yeah, we're gonna play. This is actually gonna be this is the last song from the second installment, second EP, which is called Light. This is called Nothing Wrong.
Did nothing wrong.
All right, I was hunting lions with nothing wrong, and you say that's the one on, is it on white vinyl? I assume it is.
Yes, that one's on white.
Okay.
The other one is like on black, but it's like a black marble or black. Like the picture is like a, I can't remember what they called it, but it's not etched. It's like printed on there, kind of. So it's black on black, and then this one is black on white.
Yeah, and Naked Reagan did that with one of those last 7 inches they just put out. They had one of those weird etchings on the other side. And the
it's
Bomb,
great to get one song.
Yeah, the Bomb did that for a while, too, on one of their last 12 inches, I believe, which was Jeff Pizzotti's other band after Naked Reagan. They did one of those, too. And I really don't, personally, I don't see the point. It's not like I'm taking that out and putting it on the wall.
Yeah.
Just leave it with nothing on it then. Or put the songs on the other side, just like the Susie Moon EP piece. I don't.
And from a practical perspective, they tend to not come in a jacket if they're screen printed. They don't come in like a regular jacket, so like they have no spine. So when you go to find them, it's a pain in the neck.
Mm-hmm. That's so why I prefer that.
Like I'm putting them in like a crate, like a separate crate, because I have a bunch of them. And there's some really good stuff, like the 45 adapters. I mean, Pirates is always kind of playing around, trying to make cool new stuff. Like, I have that 45 adapters, 12-inch, Now or Never, I think it's called.
Yeah, I know the one you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That one of, like, it's like a black skinhead kicking
the
Grim Reaper in the balls or something.
Yeah, it's the singer of the band. And then there's, like, I have a same thing with the first Old Firm Casuals EP. Like, it's four-song EP, screen print on one side, music on the other. Good stuff, man. Good stuff.
So we're actually going to have one of the guests that we're going to have this week, I believe. We're going to have Mark back on from TKO, but he's going to talk about his record pressing plant. And so maybe we can ask him about some of that stuff as to why, you know, if he knows what the theory is behind that and what it takes to get that shit printed on the back of a record and why you would do it. So,
well, I think that's the thing. I think Pirates is always trying to like innovate. You know what I mean? They're kind of always out there on the cutting edge. I don't know if Cascade has the ability to do that stuff or not.
See, here's the thing. So you were just saying that Spotify guy wanted to change the way from the old thinking or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, see, but that's not true, because the old thinking, going back to the 70s, bands were made to put out an album every year. So bands constantly had new albums coming out. They were touring, recording, that whole schedule, right? And that was a yearly thing. And
but I think that's it's. I think the album is obsolete.
Well, oh Jesus! Listen to you being old.
Well, I mean, I just think it is. The kids, our kids, don't care about albums.
What is that noise?
People our kids' age.
Is that you or is that me?
I don't think it's me. I mean, someone's watching a movie in the back room louder than I'd like them to, but.
It sounds like someone's cutting somebody up and throwing him in a dumpster.
Shh. Neil. Shh. No, it's not.
I don't know what the fuck that is, but anyway.
It's a raccoon. It's a raccoon I caught in my shed.
So people write in, what do you think? Albums, what did you say?
Well, I just don't, the kids' generation, I mean, albums are very much like, we value the album. That's what I'm saying, that Hunting Lions thing, if you put it together, I'm like, wow, this might, you know, would be probably my standard bearer for album of the year. But does it matter? Does album of the year even matter, other than the fact that, you know, we get to jerk each other off with our top 10 lists at the end of the year?
Well, see, I don't know if that's true, because going back to Loud Pizza Records, you know, my our good friend Mike's record store is the new one in Highland Park.
Yep,
he's doing really, really well, and they're selling tons of albums to kids, so I guess kids all buy records.
Dude, can I give a? So I just got a notification that so I did something super weird, and I bought a colored variant.
I bet
variant.
You did, you fucking freak.
I bought a colored variant of the new Metallica album.
Oh, how much did that cost you? Like $100?
No, it was like $37 or something. Double album.
Okay.
They're always double album. It's like 12 songs, like 72 minutes long or something. You would despise it. But I got to get a quote, because I was talking to Mike, because once in a while he'll bounce stuff off us about, you know, what he might carry in his store or something. I don't think he knows metal real well, so he'll ask me some metal stuff. Unfortunately, my metal is really, my metal knowledge is really pretty minimal, but I was talking about the the new Metallica record, and he made a quote that really cut me to the quick. I'll see if I can. But I was talking about how Metallica actually bought their own plant.
Mm-hmm,
Metallica alone sold 900,000 records last year.
Wow.
Of their own. But anyway, it was because I asked him about the variants. And he said, dude, kids and suburban dads love the new Metallica. I'm like, oh, I'm one of those two things. And it's not like I love it like I love the old Metallica. I just think they're big and decent records again. So the color variant I got, you know, I'm sitting on my porch right now. I'm fighting the urge. I do an unboxing. It's called Never Mellow Yellow. And it's like yellow with black specks.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. Have you heard any of the tracks from it? Is that any good?
Yep, I've heard several tracks of them. I thought they were all pretty darn good.
See, Rick at work, my buddy at work, we talked about Rick. And I'm going to be playing a song dedicated to him in a minute. which will make everybody laugh.
Scrape My Bladder?
Something like that. Something like that. But anyway, he was talking about that at work yesterday because Fridays are slow. And he was playing, I guess they were on one of the late night talk shows.
Jimmy Kimmel, I think. Jimmy Kimmel. All week.
Yeah.
What honest man could sit up and watch that? But yes.
And so he was playing that from YouTube. And they played, they didn't play a new song. At least
they played Master of Puppets.
Master of Puppets, yeah.
They played something, I don't remember what all they
Jesus
played,
Christ, they had a whole light show behind him. I mean, this, I guess, wasn't in the regular Jimmy Kimmel studio because it looked like it was a small club. But it was, I mean, I didn't like the song, but it was pretty impressive.
Dudes can play, man. I mean, I remember, like, watching the Grammys one year. This would have been probably 88 or so. I was, you know, all of a 15-year-old kid or whatever. And sitting there watching with my dad. My dad does not like rock and roll at all. He's just not I shouldn't say at all, but it's very minimal. You know, he just never got into it. But we watched Metallica play One on the Grammys. And even my dad, who was a musician, was like, oh, those guys can actually play. So even though he wasn't into him at all, there's that begrudging respect, you know?
Is it Kirk Hammett, the little guy that looks like a woman who stands on the right?
The guitar player, yeah.
Yeah. Man, he shreds, but...
The little guy looks like a woman who shreds. You got James Hetfield, who looks like the lion from the Wizard of Oz. And then you got our the bass player.
Suicidal Tendencies, right?
Yeah, he looks just like our buddy Mike the Mailman. That's why I was... Not Mike Trujillo. What's his name? Robert Trujillo. Big Mexican guy.
Well, the only one that looked like he lets down the rest of the band music wise is the fucking drummer.
Yeah.
He looked like he was out of breath about 30 seconds into the song.
Well, it's funny with Lars because he's pretty much universally accepted as not being a very good technical drummer. But the fact of the matter is, you almost have to think in a similar way to like the Ramones, that his sort of lack of technical prowess helped create the sound that works, you know?
Well, that would have been Tommy, I assume you're talking about, because I think Marky is a very technically proficient drummer.
Did I say Marky? I meant Tommy. Yeah, Marky sucks. Marky's a douche.
Well, Marky might be a douche, but I think he's a much more technically proficient drummer than Tommy was.
I think you're probably right in the traditional sense. But that being said, you listen to him playing the Tommy stuff, it's not as good.
Right, no, I agree. No, and I agree with
Tommy,
you. I agree
Tommy's
with the concept.
Style worked perfectly with the Ramones. The same with like Lars. Lars couldn't go play drums for Megadeth. Like, I just don't think he could do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, the technical proficiency stuff I could care less about, but it looked like he was winded. It looked like he was winded about 20 seconds into the song, which surprised the hell out of me, you know?
Well, dude, let me tell you something. We've been having these beautiful days. It was like 77 yesterday in April.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I have been walking. I mean, we must have walked like 3 miles yesterday.
Good for you.
I'm huffing and puffing before I get to the end of the block. But yes, I'm trying to – it's come to my attention that if I ever want to – have any years after I'm able to quit working, I'm going to have to start getting a little more exercise. So here I go.
Is someone in your house playing some classical music very loud?
Yeah, they're watching a movie or something.
Oh, well,
hey, can you turn that down a little bit?
They're in the all kinds of stuff in the podcast today, folks. People being cut up, tree frogs.
Very epic, whatever they're watching. I think my last Saturday, my wife loves to watch Grey's Anatomy. That's like her go-to. Like, I'll get up on Saturday morning, usually she's watching Grey's Anatomy. Then my son will get up and then watch a movie. Like, last Saturday we watched, Red Dragon or something. Or Silence of the Lambs or something.
Oh, Red Dragon, that was, that's one of the early, the pre-Hannibal,
They came later, but yes, it was the prequel.
Yeah.
The Silence of the Lambs. Yep. Good stuff, man. I love that, what's that guy's name? Thomas something. I read all his books, they're really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Even the Hannibal book is good, because the Hannibal movie sucks. But
well, there you go.
Why don't you play a song, Neil?
Yeah, okay, so this one, this seems out of left
field.
Trying to
drown out the John Williams in the background or whatever it is.
Well, no, you know what I'm going to play? I'm going to play, because I was just talking about Rick, and I said I'm going to dedicate a song to him. So this is
Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield.
Rick Springfield. another one of my albums of the year is probably going to be the new Hung Like Hanratty album.
This is an English band who plays all the festivals and stuff, but I've never actually heard them.
Yeah, I wouldn't call them a joke band. They're more like, but they are funny. They're more like maybe the Toy Dolls or something would be a good comparison for them. But anyway, I got turned on to them probably a couple months ago by, I think, Ben, one of our English listeners. Yes. Yeah. And I started listening to them. And yeah, they're not only are they funny, though, they have really catchy songs. So I really like them.
Like I said, I see their name on every, like, festival.
Yeah. Yeah, they do seem to be fixtures. And anyway, so they have a new album just came out.
Richard White's probably going to go see them play in some like one room schoolhouse or something.
Yeah. dude, Richard seems to go to gigs like every night.
But yeah, with his daughter, like he's not necessarily punk gigs. He just likes to go see bands play. Yeah.
Yeah. Not give him all the,
most of it seems bloody awful, honestly, but
whatever he's into.
And wherever he goes, there's a guy, he's out on the town having fun. Good for him.
Wherever he goes, there seems to be a tall guy standing.
I mean, I'm kind
of
jealous. Last night, two nights ago, there was a band, this Dyka Jew or whatever, this weird instrumental surf band that's supposed to be so good, was playing locally. They were playing at that Turnstiles where you and I went and drank. And I just couldn't muster up the energy to get out. So
Turnstiles? Which place is that?
That was the place we drank with all the realtors.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. Yeah, weird.
Yeah, they were having like a pretty big show there. I can't even pronounce her name. I don't even know if I'm even close.
Daijuku or something?
Yeah, they actually played one of the Record Farm birthday bashes that Matt put together, but by the time Scott and I got there, I'm just going to say we weren't really in a very good state of mind to be taking in
you music. Were drunk, is what we're saying.
Allegedly.
Yes, allegedly.
Don't ask Clownvis.
Anyway, yes, you didn't remember taking a picture with him. Yes. So anyway, this is off the new Hung Like Hanratty album from 2023. The album is called Going Nowhere. And this is the opening track, and this is called The Joys of Getting Old.
Well, it's
night that was hung like Hanratty with The Joys of Getting Old, which, yeah, I think a lot of our listeners can probably appreciate that song completely. And yeah, I dedicate that to Rick, but only in loving fashion.
All right.
Yeah. So, he just bought a new house, as a matter of fact. It's... fucking crazy nutcase. Most people our age, he's a couple of years younger than me, but not much.
I was gonna say, what is he, mid-50s at least, right?
He's 58, I believe, yeah.
Okay.
But they just, most people our age are moving into smaller houses. He just moved into a bigger house.
Or the grave.
Stupid idiot.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're definitely, man, next time I move, I'm definitely going smaller. Of course, I don't know what I'm gonna do with all this garbage I'm surrounded with here.
So he just got his old house exactly the way he wanted it, because he's a fixer-upper, so he'd fixed up everything, and it sold for a really nice price.
Yeah, so he probably made a ton of money on it.
But he's moved into a bigger place, more expensive, more taxes, and a ton of stuff that needs doing. So he's not going to have a Saturday free for the next fucking 5 years while he's fixing everything up.
I would like to say, I can't imagine taking on a new mortgage our age, but I just did it too, so I get it. It's...
Yeah, and his other mortgage, it seems even sillier. His other mortgage, I think he had 7 years left, and it was like it's like 2.5%. And his new mortgage is it's a 30-year at like 7.5%.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, like I said, I had no mortgage, so.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
but that's all right. Place is renting out pretty good. We're doing okay. I think it's not paying for itself, but it's pretty close. So.
Yeah, we're gonna have to go. Yeah, me and the family are gonna have to go down there.
Yeah, man, definitely. I know we're gonna do a remodel in the fall, and then. Maybe wait till after that or not. I don't care. Whatever you want to do.
Like, why remodel? What's going on with it?
Because it's got carpet, and we want to go with a hardwood floor.
Oh, okay.
They're just doing some updating. Some updating. It's, you can tell it's no, time.
Is it close to the beach?
Yeah, it's on the beach.
Yeah, so in that case, I guess carpet wouldn't work particularly well, then I'd imagine.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what they were thinking with that. And the draperies are old. That was the only two things that really struck me is the carpet and the draperies need to be. I mean, it's, I don't know how much it's going to cost. It's a little frightening because, even though my house here is paid off, I still, upgrading, maintaining and all that stuff. Now I have like a war on two fronts,
War on two fronts. That's a good name for a band.
That's kind of why I haven't been to see you yet or been to Chicago yet. I've just been kind of trying to lay low. Plus Grand Rapids is getting some kind of cool shows. I mean, maybe not dream shows, but it's enough Grand Rapids shows to sort of keep me occupied.
Well, let's talk about that.
Okay.
So we got, because you say that, but I believe you are going to be coming in a few weeks, right?
So I was going to ask you about that. I guess I can ask you about it live. You want to take that Friday off and I'll come in early in the day on that Friday, or do you want to work and I come in like at dinner time?
No, I'll take the day off Fridays.
We'll take the day off and I'll come in around lunchtime. We can putz around and do whatever we want. We're going to go see Channel 3.
Yeah, we're going to see them. They're playing Liars Club, which is tiny, tiny little venue.
Pretty good little Chicago suburbs band that I've never seen opening to. Fast Plants.
Fast Plants, yeah. And then there's a third band, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know the other band. Lollygagger, they're called. Horrible name for a band.
I might have. That sounds really familiar. I might have actually seen them before.
I think they play a pretty good amount of shows in the Chicago area.
Yeah.
Have you seen Channel 3?
I have not. No, I have not.
They're one of those West Coast bands that, like, I think any given Friday night you can see them play, at the Redwood Bar or whatever, but I don't know that they get through this area very often.
I know they came through a couple of years ago and they played Liars Club again.
Oh, did they? Okay.
So, yeah, so they must have some kind of in with the people that own Liars Club. But I would say the maximum capacity of that place is, like, probably 100. Because it's you'll be very surprised.
I'm
going to
Google
see
that.
It.
I can't imagine it's that small. But.
No, dude, you'd be amazed. When you go in there, you'll be like, holy shit, this place is fucking tiny.
I was kind of torn between – so they're playing – Saturday night, they're playing Punk Rock Night in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
So I was kind of – I could kind of go either way on that. Because the funny thing is Indianapolis is a farther drive.
Mm-hmm.
But Chicago's such a pain in the neck. But if I just come up and stay with you for the night and we'll go putz around, and it'll be good. It'll be fun.
Here's the problem as well with Chicago right now is, I think I told you about this, but the Kennedy, which is always bad, they've now got construction, and I think they've closed two lanes on the Kennedy to do bridge work, and it's going to take, like, it's great when they say, we're doing repairs, it's going to take 3 years. How could anything take 3 fucking years?
Well, and then they have to shut down in the winter, so it's like,
just crazy. Anyway.
But I would, so I'll come in Friday, and the show is Friday night, and I would like to, I don't know, Friday or Saturday, I'll go home probably Saturday evening, but I won't... really be in a hurry. So either Friday or Saturday, I would like to get up and see Mike at Loud Pizza.
Yeah, definitely.
And if we hit some other places, that'd be great. But I would make that my priority this time just because I haven't had a chance to get up there yet. And yeah.
So you're going to stay with me, right?
Yeah, I was planning on it. Cool. It's cool.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
You'd listen to me saw logs on your couch. You'd be like, if we can't go out there, he's in there.
Yeah, it's a shame. Actually, it's a shame. Lydia's back, but she just got back from California yesterday. So otherwise, you could have her room. But,
is she? No, we'll get into that later. I was going to say, I know she's. There's talk of her maybe flying the coop. So.
Yep, moving to San Diego. That's the definite plan, and that's actually why we haven't got our tickets for England yet, and I haven't got Rebellion tickets yet because we're not exactly sure when she's going to be leaving.
I wonder if that's going to. So. Sabotage the whole thing.
It's possible that it will, because if she moves, we don't want it to have to move by herself. So, yeah, sure.
If she moves, she's got to move light,
right? Yeah, going to San Diego. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, because what do you? I mean, you either. What are you going to do? You get one of those like big trucks. See you driving like a U-Haul truck to California. I would love that.
Yeah, that's going to be great. So how long have you? You've never driven to California, have you?
No. It's. I mean, you'd have to take 2 weeks off work.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's like
I love to travel by car. I know I'm more so than you do. I know, and you know, it's like always been one of my dreams. Like when I retire, we'll drive to like the Grand Canyon or something. But it's tough for a working person too.
I should have done that when I, after I got done with college or whatever over here. I should have taken like a couple of weeks off and done that. You know, because I know other people that did it.
Take Route 66 or whatever. Yeah. Just take like a nice drive. Yeah.
Exactly. Because now, you know, working and stuff. And I guess when you retire, I guess it's something you can do. But otherwise, you got to take like 2 weeks off work to enjoy it and spend time doing it. Now, the one thing I would like to do is take the train. Because I believe there's a train that does that too.
Yeah.
Like one of those glass-sided trains.
Americans hate trains. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about that. Because I think that would be a great way to see it.
There's some things you wouldn't see from the road,
you know?
Well, if Rebellion doesn't work out and the time it works out, maybe you can do go to our little basement festival with us in Maryland.
Yeah, what's the name of it again?
Savage Mountain.
Savage Mountain, yeah, because there's some good bands playing this year,
I'm waiting for the final lineup. I assume we'll probably have Jerry back on. He was a lot of fun last year and go over the lineup and stuff. So
it was Doc Rotten and the Ravages, right?
Yeah, it was originally going to be the Jasons. Jasons had to bail for some reason. Jasons are kind of play almost every year out there. So, yeah, Doc Rotten replaced the Jasons and Ravagers on Friday, on Thursday. On Saturday, I know it's Super Suckers, Cheats. He might have let us in on some stuff that wasn't necessarily announced. But every day, there's lots of good stuff.
Who's the lady that I've seen a lot of, like, short videos and stuff? Someone, like,
I think that's Jerry's girlfriend.
Okay, yeah, she's very well spoken.
Is it Mercedes? I think it's Mercedes.
She does a good job.
No, she's a sweetheart. You know, we see her. You know, we get to the point where we all kind of she knows who we are when we get there and all that. So hard, not too hard to pick out two big fat ball guys waddling around.
A couple of thumbs.
Yeah. Exactly. a couple of thumbs, a beer in each hand.
I'm thinking of going to Fest this year too again. It's been a few years.
Yeah, I saw the lineup just popped up, and other than like two bands, it's just not. I mean, I didn't. It was too small of font for me to really get very far down the list. But
oh, okay. So tell me, because I haven't seen that. Because
okay, so the big headliners that I saw that caught my eye were Descendants and Gorilla Biscuits, who I've never seen Gorilla Biscuits, so I would actually like to see them. They were supposed to play Punk Rock Bowling, of course, the year we went, but they got bounced for Youth of Today, who were excellent, by the way.
Yeah, so. They were. So that's interesting, because Gorilla Biscuits doesn't seem like that would be a Fest band to me.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of weird. And yeah. I know Descendants have played Fest before. Let me see if I can pull it up, because I think mostly you're going to be – if you're going to go, I think you're going to go to hang out with Mark and have some fun. And I mean, I think you should do that, but I don't think you're going to be blown away by any of the bands. Because okay, so top line. Oh my gosh, dude, this is so the from left to right. Thursday, Descendants, Less Than Jake. Ugh.
Less Than Jake play every year because they're from Gainesville. They're from
Florida. Yeah. Quicksand. That, you know, I saw Quicksand a few times back in the day.
But that's not a Fest band though. Quicksand.
They're like a post punk band. You know, I don't know what a Fest band is. But like Thursday playing two sets. How about zero sets for me? Less Than Jake playing two sets. Yeah, no thanks. Gorilla Biscuits would be cool. The Wonder Years playing two sets. Like, all the bands that I don't want to see at all are playing two sets.
Don't know them at all. Okay.
They're all that kind of 2000s emo stuff.
That would be a typical fest
band. Same with Thursday, right? Isn't that what Thursday is, too?
Yeah, I don't typical really fest know band, yeah.
Okay. Dillinger Four, they're cool. Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Lucero, they're kind of like a country thing. They're okay. Guar, that's interesting.
That's not a fest band either. Okay.
Sparta.
Fest
they're
band.
They're like a post-punk kind
yep
of thing.
Yep, fest band.
All, who's cool? Yeah, it's the Descendants.
Yep, other lineup.
Brother. Laura Jane Grace. I wonder if Against Me is done, because there doesn't seem to be much Against Me. Muster Plug, My Local Boys, two sets.
Jesus.
Oh, boy. Now, here's one that I actually get pretty excited about. Against All Authority. I don't remember where they were from in Florida. They were like a ska punk band. You know them?
Yeah, Triple A. Yeah.
They were really good, and I never got to see them play, so I'd like to see them. Sam I Am, Braid, Strike Anywhere, Smoking Popes, Pie Tasters, Cloud Nothings, Eve 6.
Wow.
Eve 6 in the middle of the lineup. I mean, they had like a freaking platinum album.
Yeah, they did.
Wow. I don't know. It's just, you know, typical, you know, Brendan Kelly, Chris Gethard, you know, Direct Hit.
I like how you pronounce that. Isn't it, should it be Chris Gethard?
Is it Gethard?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm just making a dirty joke. Never mind.
I don't know. But anyway, yes. Yeah, so I think you should go and have fun. I just don't know that there's... I don't know if there's any bands that... The tour, Neil, that I just saw that I'm excited about that I'm probably going to have to find a way to go to, even though I've seen all the bands.
Hold your powder there. Why don't you play another song?
Okay. Because I don't remember what other song I was going to play.
The Uncouth, who I've never heard
of. Oh, The Uncouth. Okay, these guys are from Kansas City. Kind of a friend band. I've never met them or seen them. But, you know, like Facebook friends or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, I had a friend that kind of reached out. Hey, you want to check out this album? And they're another, man, like a great street punk band from Kansas City. They put out a 12-inch called Jonesy's War, I think was their debut. And then they did a 7-inch called Just a Matter of Time. Just really good, angry, propulsive street punk. I really dig these guys. And I think they're finally putting out like a full length this year, later this year.
Just after you've announced that the full length is dead. Well done.
Well, yeah. Well,
Tom says.
I don't know. But it's funny, right? When a band's been around 10 years and then they're putting out their first full length. But they, like I said, their 12-inch was excellent a few years ago. And the 7-inch was good too, but it was only two songs. So yeah, this is The Uncouth from Kansas City, and the song is Know Your Roots.
Know your roots!
All right, the Uncouth there from Kansas City with Know Your Roots. Are they one of those kind of bands where they're only putting out their first album after a number of years because all the members are in other bands, or is it just not?
I don't know about that. Thing? I suspect it's because they all have crappy jobs and they do the best they can. But I don't know.
I get that completely. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's funny because these street punk bands, especially, so, you know, there's probably like 3 street punk bands in Kansas City. Yeah. You know, and like Chicago, there's like 10.
Right.
So it's like there's they'll do these shows where they get together and play all over the place, but they don't have enough of a scene necessarily. Each city doesn't have its own scene necessarily.
Right.
Like Grand Rapids has a couple of good street punk bands, but not enough, you know, and they'll play on other bills, but it's not like there's a scene, its own strong scene. So anyway, no, they're cool. When I was still doing the punk news thing, I had a friend, and we're still kind of friendly, Facebook friendly at least, who knew all the KC bands, and I ended up connecting with a bunch of them over the years, and so it's cool stuff.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Today, the United States is engaged in a gigantic effort to send men to the moon. For this effort, Pillsbury has developed many special foods. Here is the first one to be made available to the public. Space food sticks. To meet the demands of a long space flight, space food sticks had to be a compact, nutritious, high-energy food. That's why they make the perfect between-meal energy snack. Energy for hard play. Energy for hard work. Lasting energy to feel alive. If that sounds better than some of the things your family fills up on between meals, you should try space food sticks for good nutrition and lasting energy in a chewy, tasty snack food. Chocolate, caramel, and peanut butter, about 44 calories, at your grocer's next to the instant breakfast section. Space Food Sticks, the energy snack from U.S. Aerospace Research and Pillsbury.
So, talking about punk news a second, sure. And this is no slight to them at all.
Sure it isn't.
But I just looked, and I looked at their reviews. Just, you know, they have the list of what's been reviewed recently or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was one of the reasons why I could never look at that. It was just everything. It didn't matter what it was. Everything had 4 or 4.5 stars. Yeah. And it's like, what is the point? What is the point of writing a review like that? Because I admittedly, you know, the band might be friends of yours or whatever. You don't want to be mean, whatever. But it's doing the reader a disservice, because the whole point of a review is so you can decide whether you want to buy it or not. And believe me, everything cannot be 4.5 out of 5 stars.
Well,
it's ludicrous.
And the other thing I've noticed, and I'm on there so rarely anymore. Like, usually on Mondays, I'll go and look at, like, navel gazing, see if there's anything on there, make sure my ears aren't burning. We have a couple of people that'll still kind of scan it, and if something pops up, if I pop up or someone takes a swipe at me, they will share it with us, which I appreciate. But I usually go on there on Mondays, and that's it. But even then, looking at it, for one thing, and this is probably more of a me thing, but I don't even know what the records are that are being reviewed.
Yeah.
And I told you, I'm being very open about the fact that I've struggled with that lately. I've really had a hard time connecting with a lot of the newer bands. And we're living in like this golden era of reissues. So literally all my record money, 80% of it's just going to buy classic stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, I mean, I actually have been finding new stuff that I like, but most of it seems to be from England or Australia. Yeah, funnily enough, there haven't really been any American. Now, coming up, I think the Ravagers are supposed to put out a new record.
Oh, they can do a full length? That'd be cool.
Yeah, so and the Zoonoids one went on pre-release.
I just got my Zoonoids yesterday.
Oh, you did? Oh, shit, I haven't got mine yet.
Orange.
Have you played it yet?
Yes.
Any good?
Yes, it's very good. It's, and I don't know if you like this or not, but it's definitely got that kind of a, it feels sort of like a concept record. And I mean that in the least pretentious way.
No, I know what you mean, yeah.
All the songs sort of seem like a cycle.
Okay. Connected.
There's little bits of interludes and some sort of weird Stranger Things-y kind of like sci-fi music going on. But it's cool. No, it's real cool. And beautiful orange. Let's see. Now I think you got the splatter, right? Or did you get the orange?
Well, okay. Here's the story on that. Because when it went on, I wouldn't say pre-release, but when they officially announced it and you could order it, I went on there and tried to get the splatter, and it told me, I think there's only been like 20 splatter ones made or something. And it told me,
I thought it was supposed to be 100, but
it was, I was halfway through the ordering process. It was at the PayPal page, and then it suddenly came up, a window came up and said it was sold out. So I was like, well, fuck. So I went back to the beginning and just ordered the plain orange one. And then when I said that on the Facebook page, they said, oh, no, there's still splatter ones available. So I went back on, and then I saw that, yes, indeed, there was still splatter ones available. So I went and ordered one of those. I don't know then if they're going to cancel the orange one or if I'm going to get two that are going to show up. So we'll see, I guess. We'll see.
I guess Neil's got a copy of the Zonoids record to give away.
Yeah, yeah, maybe so.
I had a couple of those. You know, I had a couple where I had multiple color variants, and I really have tried to nip that in the bud.
Yeah, I mean, and if I do, it won't be because I did it on purpose. It would just be because, you know, whatever.
Well, I had a couple, and once again, not complaining because we have a lot of labels that have been very generous with sending us stuff. So sometimes you'll end up with two or something. And I'm really not that comfortable with like selling something that was given to me.
Mm-hmm. No, I get that.
And I'd rather just give it to a good home. So, yeah. I'll give some stuff away every now and then.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like I might bring some stuff to Logansport. I haven't really decided yet what I'm going to do. But I will tell you right now that we're probably going to have some. There might be some exclusive stuff available in Logansport that you might not be able to get elsewhere. So if you're on the fence about coming, you better come down and see us.
Yeah, and that is Logansport, May 19th for the Joey Ramone birthday bash. Yes. Queers, but, putts, wanna dies. It's going to be a great fucking time. So you guys should, anyone that's in the Midwest should
cancel
plan
all your plans. Put Grandma's funeral off till the following weekend. Get over there.
And BA from Sloppy Seconds is doing the announcing, right? So he's going to be there as well.
I think we're going to do some Ramones trivia for prizes. I mean, it's going to be.
If you want to meet BA and his bionic knees, be sure to do.
He can now jump 7 feet in the air. It's amazing. He's like a tree frog.
It's a spring-heeled BA.
Yeah, he's like a young David Lee Roth. He's out there doing like karate kicks or like Elvis back in the day.
Were you a Van Halen fan?
Yeah, you know, I it was definitely one of those bands that when I started to get into punk rock, I definitely turned my back on them.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I do like some Van Halen. I can get into. The first record is pretty much flawless, but I also kind of like the transitional records that were big pop records when I was a kid, like 1984 and 5150 and like that. So, yeah, I would definitely say I'm a Van Halen fan. I don't really have anything stuff on vinyl, but I have like almost their whole catalog on CD. So
what did you think when David Lee Roth wasn't in the band and they got that idiot Sammy Hagar in?
See, I love the first Sammy record.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, there you go. Tom loves once everything.
Again, it was my era. You heard it here first. Tom's into Van Hagar.
Tom, yes.
But you know what I'm really into, Neil?
What's that?
Classic West Coast punk rock bands.
Okay.
And, you know, I said this 1,000 times, that you look at these lineups of these shows on any given Saturday night on the West Coast, and us Midwesterners are just drooling. But every now and then we get lucky. So we're getting this tour coming through. Like I said, I've seen all the bands, but it seems bigger than the sum of its parts. The Descendants, the Circle Jerks, and the Adolescents are going on tour together.
So this is their version of what we saw last year, which was the Circle Jerks, 7 Seconds.
Well, I'm trying to think what is. It's in June, right? Yeah, I don't know. Because, it's not like punk rock bowling tour or something. But you know what it is? There's that big festival down in Ohio, the Punk and Drubba camping thing.
Oh, God, yes.
NoFX is playing there. They're playing like 2 different sets.
Now, they're breaking up.
And
right?
I think all those bands are playing down there. So I think they're just kind of breaking off of that.
NoFX are breaking up, right? Didn't they hear that?
I mean,
this is their last record or something, and last tour.
You know, it's amazing. You know, Fat Mike's got this new band called the Co-Defendants or something like that.
It's supposedly terrible, is what I'm hearing.
Well, but he's like, oh, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. I'm like, oh, dude.
Isn't it some kind of rap thing, though?
I don't know what it is. I don't care about it. But a few years ago, Mike brought out like his altered depressed, like Cokie the Clown ego.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a full record, which I couldn't listen to. It was just too much. Like, it would be okay for, like, a little bit, but it's just too much over the course of the record. And I feel like Cokie the Clown kind of sapped into NoFX. And the last couple NoFX albums have really not done anything for me. And Co-Defendants doesn't do anything for me. And I got to tell you, I'm not going to go through a huge amount of expense to see NoFX play once or twice more when they might be terrible.
Right.
Because they've been – as a matter of fact, their live shows have always been hit or miss. Sometimes, I mean, kind of almost like in a replacement sort of manner, where people always say the Replacements, man, if you caught them on the right night, they'd blow your mind. But if you caught them on the wrong night, it'd be an absolute dumpster fire.
Yeah.
I think NoFX is the same thing, but I'm actually, they've been, last couple times I've seen them, they've been bad. And I'm actually kind of wondering if maybe the times I thought they were good, it was just because I was so under the influence, I couldn't even tell that they were bad.
There you go.
So I just don't know. But that tour is not hitting Chicago, Neil, the Descendants Servitors thing.
No, but there's empty dates around it, so it wouldn't surprise me if they, because I noticed that too. And to tell you the truth, I would not be that excited about that. There's none of the band. Circle Jerks, after seeing the Circle Jerks last year with you, I came to the conclusion that I just don't like the Circle Jerks that much.
Well, I think that, but I think there's something to the sum being bigger than the total of the parts, you know, because it's kind of like that tour last year with the Circle Jerks and 7 Seconds and Negative Approach. You know, certainly had seen all those bands, but something about just putting three like classic bands together makes it that much bigger to me.
Yeah.
So I haven't bought tickets yet, but I am probably going to go to the Fillmore in Detroit to see that show if it doesn't sell out before I get tickets.
Wow, okay. So how big a venue is that?
I think 19.
19.
They're playing in Indianapolis on the Saturday, so if Detroit sells out, that would be my second choice.
But hold on. How big do you say that venue is?
1,900.
1,900? I thought you meant 19,000.
No.
I was going to say, Jesus Christ.
No, they're not playing at a hockey rink. They're playing at an old theater.
Okay.
Detroit's a pain, man. There's nowhere to stay downtown cheap. I mean, everywhere like that's safe is like $300.
Is Detroit still a ghetto downtown?
No, not the downtown part where the venues are.
Okay.
Interesting. So they have basically one part that they can please. And so anyway, I think we're probably going to do that. Like I said, I haven't bought tickets yet. But
did you say?
Yeah, I think it was the 23rd was the Detroit show. I think 24th was Indianapolis.
I think the Adolescents would be the only one of those bands that I would be really interested in seeing.
They're another one where they're not going to blow you away anymore, but they're still cool.
Who from the original lineup is still in the band?
I think just Tony Reflex, the singer.
Seriously?
Yeah. He looks like a hippie, too. He doesn't wear shoes. He's got long hair.
I know what's-his-name is dead. Steve Soto's dead, right?
Well, and he was the only other one, original guy who left, wasn't he?
So who were the brothers? Who am I thinking of?
Oh, the Agnews.
Yeah.
Agnews? No, they didn't make it out of the 80s, did they, or mid-80s?
I don't know. Wow.
Maybe Casey Royer will come back and play drums.
That's just, wow, that's sad, man. I don't know. Anyway.
But anyway, I'm probably, like I said, I'm going to probably try to catch that. I think Scott and I will probably try to go to Detroit.
Yeah.
Maybe go catch a Tiger game. You know, the Tigers' big hero for all these years is a guy named Miguel Cabrera. He's their big star, and he's retiring this year. And I've sort of been avoiding Major League Baseball, but I think I'll probably try to go catch him play one last time. Watch him strike out or ground into a couple double plays or something. So
just looking at the Adolescents page on Discogs, it looks like the current band is Dan Root, Ian Flannan, and Ian Flannan Taylor. Don't know who that is. I don't know any of the people. Mike Cambra, Mickey McKnight, and Tony Brandenburg.
Tony Brandenburg must be Tony Reflex. Okay. Tony Adolescent.
Oh, well, there you go.
Wow, that was really worth reading, Neil.
I was going to say, hopefully you know some of those people, because I don't know any of them.
Well, but you look at, I'm trying to think. Okay, so Descendants has a core lineup, obviously. They're not originals, but that's that core lineup has been playing for 40 years. And then, well, not quite 40, but, well, yeah, pushing 40 years. And then, of course, Circle Jerks is just Keith and Brian Baker, right? Brian Baker. Yeah. No, the other one, not Brian Baker, the big ball guy.
I mean, I just thought one of the Agnews would still be in the band.
No. What's the guitar player's name for freaking Circle Jerks? Dude, I'm never going to be in Punk Rock Jeopardy again. Greg Henson. There you go. I didn't even have to Google it. It just came to me.
There you go. Yeah, we're getting older, you know.
Pretty much. But anyway, I'm probably going to try to go see that. I think that feels like an event.
Okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, you and Scott can go. Yep. So Motoblot this year, which again is in June, which is only a couple months away. So Motoblot this year is interesting because they've actually got a band on the Sunday. Normally the Sunday is the day that it breaks down. So Friday night, everything is in Cobra Lounge. That's where I saw Susie Moon last year. Last time I saw Susie Moon. But Friday's normally just the setup day kind of thing. So there's no one really playing on the Friday that I'd be interested in. Saturday, Nashville Pussy is headlining.
They're fun.
High Jivers, Crank Daddy, like a bunch of like rockabilly and Americana type stuff before that, but then Nashville Pussy. And Sunday, which is normally the breakdown day, so normally there's hardly anything happening on the Sunday, the Super Suckers are playing on the Sunday.
So what's the date on that? Is that like that same weekend? I bet that's that same weekend. Is it June like 20-something?
June 23rd, 4th,
okay, and 5th. Okay, so Super Suckers are actually playing Saturday night in Grand Rapids at the Tip Top.
Oh, shit. Okay, well, that explains
which
why they're not playing.
Which I probably won't go to because I'm going to go see the Descendants instead and the Circle Jerks, or... and also, the Super Suckers are headlining at Savage Mountain, so...
Oh, dude, actually the Sunday at Motoblot's actually a pretty good lineup. So we got Super Suckers, you got the Delta Bombers, who are, you know, an Americana-type rockabilly thing.
Yep.
The Surfer Jets, who is an old-girl surf band.
These are all tip-top bands, dude. All tip-top bands.
And then Tiger Sex.
Oh, yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, which we've heard a lot about.
Yeah, they played Savage Mountain last year. Female fronted, really crazy.
Yeah, she drinks.
I mean, sort
beer
of
out of a shoe, doesn't she? Or something.
They were good. They were good. I mean, I don't want to say like Plasmatics because she doesn't like cut things up with a chainsaw or wear tape over her nipples, but she's definitely a spaz.
Right.
Yeah. Can I still say that, Neil?
Like Susie Moon's spazzy younger sister or something.
Well, but like Susie Moon on meth or something.
There you go. That's the new headline. Tiger Sex.
Susie Moon if she was from Florida or something.
She's from the trailer.
Even though I think they're from Cincinnati. I think she's from Cincinnati. But no, they're real good. They're a fun one.
Anyway, cool. So I might go to both Saturday and Sunday of Motoblot this year. So that'll be good. And that's that's less than 2 months away.
You know,
so
it's funny, right? Because there's some of these shows are like literally shows that I was planning to go to in 2020. The one specifically is the GBH MDC. Now, I've never seen GBH, the great English crossover thrash punk band or whatever. I was supposed to go see them in 2020 before the world fell apart, and with MDC. So they've rescheduled this tour. So I'm pretty excited about that. Now, that one is... You got tickets for Chicago. I think I'm going to end up going to Detroit. I'm having a slight issue with it because the Chicago show is on Mother's Day. And I feel like if I go on Mother's Day, I'm going to be in trouble, Neil.
Oh, you could bring your lovely wife with you.
Yeah, she'd love that.
Well, I mean, it is at Metro. So it's not like you'd be stuck at Reggie's on the south side again.
Yeah,
you could
stay
in Wrigley. You could take it to the Cubs game the next day.
After 20-something years of marriage, I'm pretty up on what she likes and what she doesn't like. And I'm going to go ahead and say that GBH and MDC are not on her wish list.
Is she a baseball fan at all?
Yeah, sure. I mean, as much as I am, you know, we'll go see a game.
Well, you can take it to Wrigley. I mean, that's always a nice day out.
Screw the Cubs, man.
Oh, I know. I agree with you there.
I go see the Southsiders in the ghetto. I go see the White Sox.
No, but I mean, Wrigley is a beautiful ballpark.
It's true.
And it is.
Well, there's more than play at that. You know, of course, I still have my mother here. My daughter-in-law is having her first Mother's Day. There's just a lot. I just don't think I can be gone on Mother's Day. So I think I'll go on the Saturday before in Detroit and come home and just be worthless on Mother's Day from not being able to sleep.
All right.
That's my tentative plan. Well, my daughter and I have still been doing that driving. I said, you want to go to Detroit and see a spiky punk show? She's like, sure. I'm like, okay, that might be our opportunity. So, it's all ages in Detroit. So
it's GBH, MDC, and who else? Isn't there a third
band?
This
band called Nice, N-I-I-S or N-I-I-C, a female front. If you saw them, you'd think they were a European metal band or something. I haven't heard them. I haven't heard one song, but they're female fronted. Seems sort of interesting. So, anyway, that is my tentative plan. I'm going to come see, come for Cinco de Mayo with you to see Channel 3 and go to Detroit to see GBH.
Yeah, I've never seen GBH. I'm kind of looking forward to it. I don't know if I'll even enjoy it that much, but there we go.
They were a little more metal-y than... See, I like that Discharge GBH kind of thing. And GBH is, I mean, they're fairly authentic, right? They at least have the singer and the guitar player.
Yeah.
I don't know about the rhythm section, but
yeah,
you know,
Colin and,
drummers and bass players. Come on, let's be realistic here.
And then Subhumans are playing Cobra Lounge, I believe.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's funny to me because a lot of these bands that are moving around, like the GBH MDC, they're both playing Punk Rock Bowling. So they're kind of touring on their way over. I assume they're flying to New York or whatever and just kind of touring over to the West Coast. But, like, Subhumans are playing in Chicago on Memorial Day weekend, on the Punk Rock Bowling weekend.
Yeah, they're playing Cobra Lounge, which, you know, it's a pretty small venue, really.
Yeah, you should go see that, man. I'm not going to be able to make it to that one, but you should go to that.
Sunday, May 28th, with a band
called
Cop Out.
Hey, you know what? You got that Monday off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, there you go, then. Maybe I'll buy tickets.
Get that money off from
them. So I'm buying my tickets from Dice. The price you'll pay, $24.72. It's like $24.72. That's pretty specific right there.
The tickets for GBH at the Sanctuary were pushing $35 with fees. I think they were $25 plus fees. What were they at the Metro?
I think it was like $25 advance, $30 day of.
But probably then fees, so probably about the same.
Probably about the same. Which is pretty normal for a punk show, especially for a touring band, for God's sakes, you know?
Well, it's funny because, like, you know, the other one that's coming in the fall, which I will go see, even though I don't love them, but the Chats are coming with Cosmic Psycho is great. Another great more Australian bands. I love Cosmic Psycho's Chats. I'm kind of – jury's still out for the Chats. Jury's still out. They have, like, three albums out. I don't know. I think they're okay. I don't love them, but I think they're okay.
I'm surprised they're still together, actually.
Playing it here in a room that holds maybe, like, 800, and it's $25 in advance.
So you're going to go?
In Chicago, I swear that would be $50, right?
Is that tour coming to Chicago? I'm not sure.
I don't know. I think they're more hitting secondary markets this time. It's a weird show. I never expected it to come to GR, honestly, because I thought the foreign touring bands usually only hit the big markets.
Where are they playing in GR?
The Intersection downtown.
I've heard you talk about playing, that
It's
place.
Not in the big room, though. It's in like the 800-person room. So yeah, we'll probably go catch that, I imagine.
The Chats are playing the Vic.
Is that where we saw Circle Jerks?
Yeah. And okay, so Cosmic Psychos and the Schizophonics. And the Schizophonics are fucking great.
Yeah. So that's a real strong bill. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that too.
Yeah, so that's not till October.
Okay. Electric Frankenstein is playing in Grand Rapids on the 3rd of June. I'm looking forward to that.
You'll be there. Yeah, you love that, right?
And the other one that I told you about that I was sort of embarrassed about, but I'm not really, is that a Wasp is playing in Grand Rapids. The great 80s.
Hold on. Animal felt like band. A beast.
Yes, that's right. Oh, I'm an animal.
Okay.
I'm an animal.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Right.
I'm going to play a song.
Yeah, you better do that.
So, our good friend,
Before I tell you about one, you'll see Faster Pussycat and Flint or something.
our good friend John from Japan, from England, obviously, from Born Shit Stirrers. They have a new, I wouldn't say it's funny, you call it a single. It's not really a single, it's like a digital release, right?
Well, they're doing an album, right? I think they got a new album coming out.
Yeah, called Scratch and Sniff, I believe. And so that will be out later in the year, and this is like early release track from it. This is a song. Okay, it's the song is called "I'm in Love with Karen Grant." Now, Karen Grant was a character from a 80s into 90s English soap opera, which was set in Liverpool, called Brookside, and Karen Grant was like the younger sister or something, you know, kind of thing, and she was pretty cute. I'll admit. And but anyway, so this song is called "I'm in Love with Karen Grant," and being from Liverpool, that soap opera, the guest vocalist on this is Mark McGill,
Paul McCartney.
They got Paul McCartney somehow. I'm not quite sure how they got that, but there you go. It's Mark McGill, who was most famously in the Down and Outs, and he's currently doing another band with Mackie from Blitz. I don't remember what the name of that band is off the top of my head, but anyway. So this is Born Shit Stirrers with "I'm in Love with Karen Grant."
You ever been in love?
Yeah, I'm in love with Karen Grant.
There you go. That was Born Shit Stirrers with I'm in Love with Cary Grant.
John has no problem getting, like, he doesn't seem to, at least, getting, like, famous people to be on his records. Didn't Mike Watt play bass on...
Yeah.
Mike Watt played bass on the EP?
Yeah. What was that last EP they put out?
It was a split. It was Overwork Underfuck or something
yeah,
like that.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah.
Very funny.
Good yeah, stuff. Yeah, great. In fact, we should get John back on.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we used to have those crazy phone calls on Saturday mornings and stuff like that, but we don't do that anymore. But it would be great to have John back on, and he can tell us what's happening in Fukuoka in Japan, where he lives. With his little contingent. So
seems to be playing some gigs again and stuff. So.
Well, yeah, I think they're getting ready for this new album release. And I'll tell you who else we should have on is the guy that puts out their records.
Sure. Line it up. He's English, right?
Yeah. Is it Cereal Bowl Records, right?
Cereal Bowl.
Something right. like that, yeah.
Obviously a guy who has no interest in making any money.
What? The Born Shit Stirrers, you mean? Is that what you mean?
Just in general, all the stuff he puts out, it's all wild, weird stuff, good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's good, but it's not commercially viable.
Right, right. And what is these days?
Pretty much. Knows? Or who cares, really?
Yeah, who cares?
You know what I didn't do, Neil?
What didn't you do?
Punk77@gmail is where you can reach us. And, of course, the Punk Till I Die Facebook group. You know, we're at, like, 990. I'm watching the counter of members on the group.
Yeah, so our 1,000th member, are we gonna send them, like, just a big pack of flexies or some shit?
No, we're going to cut them up and put them in a dumpster. I'm going to bring my chainsaw over. No, yeah, something like that. But, you know, I was watching it because it's real close now. It's like 990 and then 991, 992, and then back to 991. I don't know what we're at right now, but we're very close.
I checked this morning. It was 992 because I put out a new episode this morning, so I did check. And it was 992 as of this morning. But it seems like we always get a spurt when we have a guest on.
Yeah,
because a guest brings their own.
I believe Richard Hell said it best. Love comes in spurts, Neil.
Indeed, indeed it does. We never played a Richard Hell song on the show,
have we?
I don't believe so. No.
I could dig a little Blank Generation or something. Maybe next time. Mental note.
Yeah, Blank. Well, it has to be either Blank Generation or Love Comes in Spurts, really. Because
yeah, there's like four good songs on there.
Yeah, that first.
Or like, I shouldn't say that. There's like four punk songs on the record. The rest of it's really.
Yeah, it gets kind of jazzy, as a matter of fact. A little
jazzy.
Yeah, it's an interesting album.
You want to weigh in at all on the? There's a couple of funny things right now going on the World Wide Web with music stuff,
okay?
Or music adjacent stuff. I don't know if you have anywhere else you want to go, because this might take a little bit. But
no, we've been all over the place today. But go ahead.
How many songs we got left? Tell me where we're at. I got one more.
Played three. You've played three.
Okay, so we each have one more, or you got two more?
I might throw an extra song in there, maybe, because I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. But, so, this Motley Crue thing is killing me.
Motley Crue. Oh, yeah, so tell me about, because I don't so really
earlier,
know anything
so
about
So, like,
this.
Last year, whatever, or this year, earlier this year, you know, of course, Motley Crue signed this big thing, this big $1 million thing that they'll never tour again. Like, $1 million is such a big amount of money when you're talking about playing stadiums, you know. So then they broke that, of course, and they went on one more tour, and now they want to go on another tour. And Mick Mars, the guitar player, 71 years old. He's got some kind of degenerative back thing or something, right?
Don't know. I don't know anything about Motley Crue at all, man.
I don't know exactly what's wrong with it, but he looks like Mr. Burns. He's kind of like hunched over.
So he's like Cheetah then.
Yeah, but he's a good guitar player. I mean, he can play, no question. At least I think he can. So it was reported that he amicably left the band and that they had another guy touring with him. He was still a member of the band, but he just wasn't going to tour anymore.
Sure.
And it lasted for a few months. And then one of his buddies did an interview, and Carmen Appice, the drummer, I think it was Carmen, might have been Vinny, I don't know, there's a couple of drumming Appices, where they said that he wasn't happy because all the tracks were pre-recorded. And blah, blah, blah. Anyway, now it's turned out into this all-out war where they're all accusing each other of not being able to play and talking about how Nikki Sixx's bass lines have been pre-recorded for years.
Huh.
And that they're just basically pantomiming along, and which would make sense because Vince can't sing either. When you see videos of like Vince Neil actually trying to sing, he can't sing at all.
Is he the one that now looks like a fat little lady?
Yeah, he looks like the Abominable Snowman or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And he can't sing. It's just, well, you know, I've never been a big Crue fan of the bands from that era. You know, by the time like I love the Shout at the Devil album, but what was that, like 1983 or something?
Yeah.
I mean, I was like 10 years old. And then after that, it was just all the terrible pop metal garbage, you know, Girls, Girls, Girls and Home Sweet Home and all that stuff. So I never really liked the band, but I can't tell you how much fun I'm having watching them all accuse each other of not being able to play. Like, you know, because Mick Mars is like, they just played a tape. They faked the tape. And then the manager of, you know, Motley Crue comes out and says, Mick Mars can't play, or he's like, his handlers are like guilty of elder abuse.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
It's the funniest thing. And I think the bottom line is it just reinforces the fact that Motley Crue is a terrible band.
Wasn't Tommy Lee their drummer?
Yeah, he still is.
Okay, you said Carmine Appice, so I figured.
No, that was the drummer who was interviewed, his Mick Mars buddy.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
But it's just like, it's just, give it up already. And I feel bad, you know. Like, we have some friends who have teenage kids who just love Motley Crue, and their dream is to see Motley Crue. And I'm just like, you'd be so disappointed. There's no point in seeing them now. I don't care if you're an old-time diehard fan or a young person. Don't go see Motley Crue. It's a freaking joke.
So basically, Motley Crue is the new Milli Vanilli. Milli Crue, is that pretty what you call them?
So they're not quite as easy on the eyes.
Huh.
And the other thing, of course, that's hilarious is this whole Kid Rock Bud Light controversy. Which,
see, I guess I don't watch the news. I don't know what that is.
Either of these brands, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, Bud Light's always been shit, so I don't know why.
Well, and it is kind of weird that Bud Light would choose to put this transgender woman on the can. I'm like, who do they think their audience is? I mean, who drinks Bud Light? College girls, right?
God, and sure,
it's such piss beer. I just don't know. I don't know. I don't know why. I just don't think it's a good marketing strategy to place out to sort of strike out this weird stance, because I mean, Bud Light doesn't care about trans people. They're just pandering, right? I mean, they can't really be. What's that? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, it's not like they're gonna be selling a whole bunch of Bud Light to a new bunch of like trans people who are suddenly, wow.
So because suddenly they like to drink piss.
Yes, and they like to drink urine. Yes.
Well, and then you got Kid Rock, who's just like, you know, living up to his brand of being just a redneck and shooting like Bud Light cans with his AR-15. Did you see that or no?
So what is Kid Rock's favorite beer then? What does he put forward?
I think he makes his own beer. They used to have it on tap over here at the pizza parlor. It's called American Badass.
Okay. That sounds like a wrestler American, should have. Should like, be WWE called, should be putting that out because
should think, be called American Skunk Ass. It's well, nothing I think, special. No, we, it's fine.
I know you're not. I know you're not a wrestling fan, but you've heard the Undertaker, obviously.
Yes.
Well, when the Undertaker changed his image for a while in the 90s, he was actually, his name was the American Badass. So
was that right?
He had like an outlaw biker thing there for a couple of years, and he was the American Badass. So that's interesting that Kid Rock has stolen that. The only thing I really ever enjoyed about Kid Rock is that one time in one of his horrible videos, he should have been in the bathroom when he was wiping his ass with Radiohead toilet paper, which I thought was kind of amusing.
But, well, they're both such bad. They're just bad, and I don't know. I support neither of these things. You know, everything now has to be like either or. Either you like this or you like that. No, I dislike it all. I dislike both.
Or either you like this or you're a racist homophobe.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? That's
well, like I said, I do question. I don't believe that Bud Light is sincere on giving a crap about trans people one way or the other. I think they're just trying to expand their brand, but it does seem sort of weird to alienate a whole different group of people for the sake of. And I'm not talking about the.
Well, they're getting the name out there.
I'm just talking about normal people.
I guess they're getting the name out there, right? But
I mean, most people have heard of Bud Light, right? I don't think it's a brand recognition issue. I think it's a bad taste issue.
But has Bud Light ever had like a picture of anyone on their cans before?
I don't know.
I don't think so, right? So why all of a sudden do it now?
Yeah, I don't know, Neil. I don't know.
Meanwhile,
pandering. Like I said, I think it's pandering personally.
Your good old PBR. They just keep doing what
they do. Yeah, exactly. You know who the PBR's got on the cover? Nobody. Just the blue ribbon that they won 150 years ago.
So you always say that, but I have a feeling that Blue Ribbon might just be in the name.
Blue Ribbon used to be last place back
then? Yes. Everyone else got a gold cup, and this beer got the Blue Ribbon, which was last place.
You know. Indeed. PBR is not good, but you always know what you're going to get when you crack a bottle of it, Neil.
No, PBR's. You know what? You've sold me on PBR. If I'm going to get a cheaper American beer, I will go. Actually, you know which one I do like, though? I like that one from Texas with that Lone Star. I do like Lone Star.
I don't like the Lone Star. I like the Coors. The Coors Banquet, I think, is the best of the – or my favorites, actually, of the cheap beers are Coors Light – or not Coors Light. Coors Light is might be worse than Bud Light. Nah, it's not. They have cowboys on their cans. Coors Light – or I'm sorry, Coors Banquet or Miller High Life.
Now, is – now, did Coors just rename their regular old Coors, which used to be Yellow Can? Is that now Coors Banquet? Did they just add Banquet to the name of it?
It was always called that. I think now it's just used more to differentiate. Because for years, you couldn't get regular Coors very easily.
Okay.
You go to the store, they'd always have Coors Light, but they would never get a Coors. I don't know, dude. I'm sort of like sick of the whole craft beer. I'm sort of on the outs with that. I mean, we have a brewery in town here, even in my little town now, and all these. I'm sort of sick of paying $6 for a pint of beer.
Well, here's what I'm sick of, and I'm sorry, Jason, if you're listening to this, but I'm sick of these like independent breweries that just they don't put out any normal beer. Everything is like blackberry slushy, or like you know some kind of it's got fucking laxatives in it. I don't know. It's just how about just doing a regular beer? You know,
but, you
doing
know,
a regular a Scotch ale or a stout or something.
Sort of this market saturation to the point where it is pretty difficult to differentiate yourself. You know.
Yeah, but who wants to drink pint after pint of raspberry slushy at 12%? You know what I mean?
I haven't tried it yet, so I'm not willing to say.
As long as it's cheap, you'll buy it, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So what else is in the news that you're angry about?
No, just those two things. I think they're both pretty funny. I'm not even angry about it. I'm just like the Motley Crue thing. I actually think is funny. Bud Light thing. I just think what is to be gained by anyone in any of this situation?
One thing that I thought was funny was I see that Tim Armstrong has put together yet another spin-off band or splinter
and they
band,
had,
right?
Well, you saw they hit it. It was amazing, right? Because it came out with like Bad Optics or something, was
that
it?
That was
called?
The name, yeah. And then they had to change the name,
they
right?
Change the name.
Because there was another band called Bad Optics. You think after he's been in the music industry long enough, did he know to look up to see if a band already had that name?
Well, and it's some little like, you know, it's not like it's, you know, the Beatles or something. I'm surprised they didn't just pay him off.
Yeah, you would think, but what is the deal
but
with
it's
him?
Not such a great name that it's worth dying on a hill for, right?
I mean, what did they change it to now?
I don't even remember.
It's some...
I must have been the only person in America who heard that track and was like, eh.
Well, it sounded like just like everything else he does.
Well, I was much more I really like some of Jesse Michaels. I mean, do you ever listen to Classics of Love?
I've listened to that first album a few times.
I mean, that's more than 10 years old now, but man, that album is really good. It's a real smoker, man, like 22 minutes long or something, 12, 13 songs, just blast some songs. I thought the new song was actually a little on the dull side. I mean, it was fine, but then also somebody from the group put a picture of the newer Classics of Love EP, and I just listened to that. It's called Burning Ball of Burning Hate or something like that. Really good, man. Really aggressive, lo-fi, blasting punk rock stuff.
It's not new. I mean, it's been out for a while, but it's new on vinyl. It's on vinyl for the first time. That's what it is.
It's only a couple years old. But anyway, yeah, no, I think it's cool. But yeah, I have a hard time getting too excited about a new Tim Armstrong project either. But I mean, I guess people are just sort of creaming all over themselves because it's, you know, Jesse Michaels and Tim Armstrong together.
Yeah, like the Operation Ivy redo that'll never happen. But
well, okay, if you get the two of them together, why don't they? I don't understand why they can't get it together. That I mean, you don't have to be a full-time band again. Play a couple sets at do punk rock bowling. Do I mean, if they did Riot Fest with that, it'd be huge. They could make $300,000 for one show, you know, or whatever. Make some money. Of course, I guess Tim Armstrong probably doesn't need the money, right?
I wouldn't.
But I bet you the other guy does.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the biggest thing about Jesse Michaels that I own the first Operation Ivy, obviously, but I've got a couple of his paintings as well.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah, do, nice. And he's good. So
he's a real artist. He does all kinds of visual mediums and stuff. No, I mean, I think he's – and maybe he doesn't really want to go back and retread the Operation Ivy thing, but I don't know. It just seems I had enough – you know, here's the thing for guys like you and I working stiffs. If we had the ability to make – $1 million for a year's work or whatever that we could just put in the bank, we would swallow our pride and do it, right?
Yeah.
But whatever.
But especially as this new song, it sounds kind of like Operation Ivy.
Yeah.
And it also sounds kind of like the last spin-off thing that he did, which was what, Landfill Crew?
It's kind of like a more mellow op Ivy, right?
Yeah. Okay, and they had to change their name to Doom Regulator. Jesus. Doom Regulator. He sounded like it should be a black metal band.
Dude,
I think
he bought that. I believe he bought that name from you out of your notebook.
Yes, right.
Yes. No, Jesse Michaels paid $20 to Neil for the name Doom Regulator.
I know, it sounds like a black metal band. That's a terrible name for like an upbeat ska
band. Doom is sort of a loaded word musically, isn't it?
Yeah. The whole thing is weird. And well, supposedly Rancid is coming out with a new record. They supposedly announced the name of it yesterday.
People are clamoring for that. No, well, there's a new song. I don't know. Was that to tease a record?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, they've been talking about a new album almost as long as Mike Ness has been talking about.
Well, no, it hasn't been that long. It's only been like 5 years, right? Well, here's the problem, Niels. They keep putting out new records and nobody cares. They don't want to hear the songs live. I mean, I saw them a few years ago. It's probably been since I've seen Rancid, and nobody really cares about hearing the new songs.
Yeah.
They don't want to really hear anything post about 2000.
That last album was pretty good, man. That last album they did was pretty good. But it's just
Which one is that? The Troublemaker one? The
Troublemaker, yeah. That's right. It's been a while. Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't, it was fine. If I looked at it right now, I couldn't. If I looked at the song titles right now, I doubt I could hum any of them to myself. Because I've kind of felt that way about the last few albums. Like, they're fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with them.
None of the songs
really stuck with me, you know?
I think it was the best of the recent bunch of albums. I think it was.
What about Honor Is All We Know?
Yeah. What about it?
I don't know. I bought them all on CD, but I just don't. Yeah, I don't listen to them ever.
Yeah. I'm always tempted to go, I should get that on vinyl. And then I look at it and it's like $28. And I'm like, you know what? No,
I don't have every Rancid album, but I have most all of them on CD, but I only have Outcome the Wolves on vinyl.
I have that one, even
like Let's Go. It just doesn't do nearly as much for me as Outcome the Wolves.
I think I have Let's Go, Outcome the Wolves, and Life Won't Wait. I think I have those three on vinyl.
I mean, I guess if you're going to get three of them, those are the three to get.
Yeah.
If I was going to get any of my 8-track, those would be the same three I would get. So why don't you play another song for us, Neil?
All right. Well, seeing as we're kind of lining up to finish off, right? I think we're getting close to the end. So I'm going to play a song which is going to tie into what you're going to end up with. So, okay. Tom, what do you know about the band Altered Images?
I've heard of them. That's all.
Well, you would know the song Happy Birthday, I'm sure.
It doesn't ring a bell. Does it go, happy birthday to you?
No, you would know it. You would know it.
I'm sorry. Now Michael Jackson's going to sue me. Doesn't he own that?
Girl singer. Happy birthday, happy birthday.
Wow, it sounds worse than the Michael Jackson version. No, I don't know that. But I mean, maybe I will. I'll have to hear it.
Well, unfortunately, then... My lead into this is broken.
Sorry,
anyway,
dude, I stepped all over
most people know Altered Images because of the Happy Birthday song, because whenever it was anyone's famous.
Who is most people? I don't believe that most people know that, because if I don't, I'm not most people. But
you
anyway,
all have heard
right.
the song. I can guarantee you've heard the song Happy Birthday before. Okay. But anyway, they were like a breezy, new wavy kind of band that were very poppy, and she had a girl, like she had a voice like a little girl, and it was kind of cutesy and stuff. But this was really
big with the Gary Glitter crowd.
This was mid-80s, and she was kind of an actress for a while. She was in a movie called Gregory's Girl. She was like everybody's heartthrob for about 5 minutes in the 80s. But anyway, before they recorded that, they had a couple of they were more like in the Susie and the Banshees kind of vein. And their first single, which I am going to play, I just rediscovered after decades, right? Their first single is called Dead Pop Stars, and it's very dark, and it's almost gothy in a way. So I am going to play, this is Altered Images, who got their name from the back of a Buzzcocks single, which is interesting. So this is Altered Images with the song Dead Pop Stars from 1981. This was their first single. Yeah. That was Altered Images with dead pop stars. And yeah, Tom completely ruined that intro. You should have just played along and said, oh yeah, I know that song. I know Happy Birthday.
Yeah,
it's a great song. Yes, yeah, so. Though.
And then you didn't play that song anyway, so it doesn't really matter, does
great
it?
Great cheesy. Yeah, but it's surprising to know that the band that everyone just knows as like this cheesy kind of poppy band actually had a interesting doomy kind of beginning. So anyway,
I sense a Chumbawamba lecture coming on.
No Chumbawamba here, my friend. No Chumbawamba here.
Well, I'll tell you what.
So dead pop stars, lead into that one, Tom.
So yeah, once again, we already talked about it a little bit, but I want to beat the drum on this thing because I really think this is going to be the, if not the musical event of the year, it's going to be the social event of the year. Once again, May 19th, Friday night, Logansport, Indiana, the Joey Ramone Birthday Bash, starring, of course, your heroes, Tom and Neil. Tough Guy Tom and Lily Liver Neil.
Jeez, how do I get to a little
I don't know. Good I mean, Lord. Can you think of like a tough guy thing that goes with L? Let's see, Loudmouth Neil.
L. My name begins with N, my friend.
Oh, that's right. How about Nasty Neil?
The alphabet's not too good with
Tough
you.
Tough Guy Tom and Nasty Neil.
There you go.
Oh, how about here we go. Tire Iron Tom and Knife Fight Neil.
There you go. That's a bit better.
We'll be there, of course, signing autographs.
Yes.
Sign your wife's breast, whatever you need. Sign.
I'll be happy to do that.
No, yes. We'll be there downing pints of whatever cheap ale we can find. Mm-hmm. And
no Bud Light.
Yes, and I'm sure we kind of have a tentative plan to record some stuff, even though we're not going to do a live podcast per se. And then on Friday afternoon, we're going to be there fairly early, and we're going to do a record recon with our pal Dr. Disc from Goldmine Music, which is going to be great fun.
Goldmine Magazine, yep.
And then later on, the bands are going to play. Like I said, I think we're going to do some. He's got a bunch of prizes and stuff, and Neil and I might kick some stuff in. And we've got some. So I think we're going to do some Ramones trivia for those of you who consider yourselves, punk rock experts and whatnot. And no, it's just going to be a great time. And then of course, music in the evening. So
from Don't Wanna's, the Putts from Indiana. And the Queers.
I think you called them the Wanna Dies earlier. I think that might be better. We should call them the Wanna Dies.
Yeah, what are they called? Are they the Don't Wannas or are they the
I think
Wanna
Don't
Dies?
Wannas, yeah.
Don't Wannas, okay.
They're sort of like a local Ramonesy kind of band, so.
Okay.
Yeah, the Putts, of course, who, I gotta tell you, the Putts really do not play much anymore.
Right.
The Queers have been beating the streets, playing a ton lately. Even they just, like, got back from doing, like, a bunch of Southern shows in the Carolinas and stuff.
They're playing with Susie Moon, I believe, aren't they?
They did. They had Susie Moon and our other buddies, the Raging Nathans.
Raging Nathans.
I saw somebody's coming back to Grand. No, it was in Chicago, Neil. The I think it was the Boll Weevils.
Oh, yeah. They're doing a show at a Chop Shop.
So they're doing, I think it's a record release show. They're doing like a full length with Red Scare, which would be cool. You know, we've been talking about it for years. We got to have Daryl on. Daryl's like, he's been kind of our number one requested guest, and he's agreed to come on. We just haven't made it happen yet. So we got to have Daryl on, Dr. Daryl from the Boll Weevils. But anyway, one of the bands opening that record release show was the Dopamines, who Josh from Rad Girlfriend plays guitar in that band too. So,
oh, is that right? Okay.
So if you get a chance, I don't know. Like I said, I'm kind of picking my shots here, and I just have sort of decided that for me, 2023 is really going to be about seeing bands I haven't seen before, since I sort of had to focus on that. And that's why I'm excited to come see Channel 3. I've never seen them, and, you make me feel cheap, Neil.
You made me, yeah, indeed. And also, you've never been to Liars Club, so I think that'll enjoy that.
I've never been to Liars
Club,
yeah, and that's a big thing, too. And it's, like I said, the GBH thing, as much as I would love to come go to the Metro, I'd rather go to the Sanctuary in Detroit. It's a better venue, I think, or I like it a little better, or I've never been there, actually, but I want to go there. And the, like I said, I just don't feel like I can miss Mother's Day, so.
Good Lord, that's going to be an interesting weekend. You got Boll Weevils, Dopamines, and the Reaganomics, who did that Child song.
But I think there's like two more, I think there's like five bands total.
Yeah, they're playing on the Saturday, and then this Sunday is that, which show is, Subhumans is the Sunday.
Ah.
So Jesus,
well,
that's going
to
be a busy weekend.
You might have to pick your shot too.
Yeah. And that's of course, is the punk rock bowling weekend.
I guess at the end of the day, you know, that's a tough one, but I'd probably go see Subhumans just because if I was the only one who would have won, just because, of course, who knows? They've been around for more than 40 years. Maybe they're not going anywhere, but I always kind of err on the side of the older band, assuming I won't get another chance, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Bo Weevils get a lot of cool, like, opening gigs. I was waiting for them to be announced, like, opening for Fear or something. Like, they get all the cool opening shows, but Fear's openers are not very big names.
Oh, that are playing, because Fear are playing, obviously, in June and Reggie's,
I really am struggling with that one, too, because I really would like to see Fear one more time, but I've not been getting very good reports.
Yeah, I'm not really that interested in that, to be honest.
Oh, that first record, though, is so good, Neil.
It's fine, but, you know.
It's fine?
It's fine.
I mean, I Don't Care About You might be, like, top 10 punk songs of all time.
Yeah, mental. Whatever. Top 100, maybe. Sure, I'll give you that.
British bias. Anyway, all right. So, yeah, come see us in Logansport. That's where this all started.
No, well, and also, you're missing what day it is today, too, and why I played Dead Pop Stars.
Oh, so I guess today's the day Joey Ramone died on 20-something years ago, huh?
22 years ago today.
He died. He'd be in his 70s now, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Are you sure? Let's see, it was 2000? Yeah, 2001. Okay.
2001, yeah. 22 years ago today, he died. So that's why I played Dead Pop Stars.
Was he was
supposed
40?
To. You were supposed to catch up on that, but you didn't.
He was born in 49, I think, so he'd be 74?
74. That's all right. Yeah, that sounds right.
My gosh.
Well, it'll be 74 on May 19th, which is the date of our show. That would be his birthday. Yes.
Come out. Indeed. Neil will do his Joey Ramone impression. He's got one of Marky's old wigs. You know.
I believe actually that's one of the things that our friend from Goldmine is going to be giving away. He's got a signed Marky Ramone wig. Yes.
Like the bowl cut, like the classic bowl cut. Yes. It's like Mo from the Three Stooges with length.
And if you give him an extra $20, Marky will come round to your house and play drums in your living room.
Wish you a happy birthday. That was that thing that where the celebrities wish you a happy birthday.
Another alternate images line, yes.
Cameo. Get famous people to wish you a happy birthday, whatever. Give them money.
Oh, yeah, maybe we should jump on that bandwagon.
You think so? You think a lot of people are going to be getting Tom and Neil cameos?
Yeah, you can be nice and I'll insult people.
We could do like Vince Neil. Just get like Vince Neil from Motley Crue, because I've been hearing some of his play. He's just like gets super drunk and just like...
No, I can insult them and stuff. I can suit their musical taste and you can say nice things. That's 10 to 10.
And then we can switch.
Sure.
We can take turns.
Nasty Neil. There you go.
It is a nasty. Exactly. You know, it is a, you know, I do feel like for the most part, it's good cop, bad cop, but sometimes we do switch. Sometimes just to mix things up.
Yeah. We surprise. Yeah. Surprising. You want to fight old men in the parking lot of bars for some reason.
Yes. That's what PBR does to me, man. Let's fire my blood.
Gives them those fighting muscles.
Exactly. All right, everybody. So anyway, man, the song I'm going to play to wrap it up is, I'm actually going to do a Joey Ramone solo song. We're going to do Don't Worry About Me, which ironically was the title track from his album, which came out after he was dead.
Yes. Good, really good record. Actually, that was Record Store Day release a couple years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a mixed bag, but it's got some great stuff on it. Of course, it's got that cover of Wonderful World, and what's that song about that like newscaster that he was lusting over?
Maria Bartiromo. Yeah.
Yes. It's good. It's a solid record. It's very Ramonesy.
Now, but what about that second one that they took about?
It had some good stuff too, but he was not real involved with that, right? It was just like...
That one seemed to be really scraping the
barrel.
That one's
called Hey Ya or Hey... I can't remember. I have it.
Wasn't Hey Ya like some kind of crazy hit a few years ago by some... Yeah, that one.
Was it You Know or Hey... I can't remember.
Hey,
what
You
was
Know
it was
or something like
very,
that, yeah.
Very like New York...
Yeah. Oh, it had that song Rock and Roll Is the Answer, which is...
It's decent, but it was definitely like... Take some Joe. I think it was literally just
scraping the barrel, is what it was.
Well, but I think it was just take Joey Ramone's vocals and just like build songs around them. Like, I don't think he had anything to do with it. Like, his first solo album, I think he was real involved with the creative process, at least. It just didn't get finished until after he was dead. Mm-hmm. But the second one was, but yeah, you know, whatever. You know, hearing Joey's voice from the grave is always a good thing.
Voice from the grave.
May 19th, come hear Joey's voice from the grave.
It's a good name for a band.
There we go. Voices from the Grave. That's the name of my solo album.
Anyway, so we're going to play out with Joey Ramone, Don't Worry About Me. And Tom, it's been fun to talk to you on a Saturday morning.
Yeah, it is. It's always a good time, Neil. Always a good time. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And yeah, we'll see you. Oh, stickers. I'm still sending out some stickers. If you want some stickers, either send us a message on Facebook with your address, and I'll get those out, or send us an email, punktoidie77@gmail.com. We'll have lots of stickers in Logansport and, like I said, some other things, maybe some exclusive things that you won't be able to get elsewhere. So
yeah, anyway. Maybe so. So anyway, Tom, stay free. Mm-hmm.
I was born free and I'll die free, pal.
Keep a little Joey in your heart. There you go. Yeah, so yeah, so you're making it a bit more hip. There you go.
There you go. We'll smell you all soon.
Yeah. See you later, guys. Bye bye.
Don't worry about me.
Okay, that brings us to the end of another show. Hope you enjoyed it. Remember, keep a little mark in your heart, and we'll be back the same mark time, same mark channel.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Ever get the feeling you've been cheated? Good night.
What a fucking rotter.
What a load of old shit!
They
thank you, fuck you, bye. Boom.
Okay.